and be finding the book of Jonah. While you're doing so, I want to call a couple folks up here that have finished their discipleship and allow them to get their certificate tonight. I want to ask Miss Kelly Nepshield and Melissa Reed if they would make their way up here, and then Allison Christie and Kay Arnold. I think I saw all of them. If y'all would make your way up here, and we appreciate those who have finished the discipleship one classes, and as my wife signs hers, awkward, then it will be ready for Melissa to receive. There we go. That's just, just now signed. So, Melissa, appreciate you finishing those discipleship one. And let's see, Kay, you worked with Allison, and we'll let you give that to her. Appreciate you finishing that, Miss Allison. Let's give them a round of applause, and we appreciate their faithfulness. You can be seated. Jonah chapter 4 is where you are. We'll be reading in verse number 5 is where we're going to pick up. I think we'll go ahead and read down through the rest of the chapter, and I'm certain we won't finish the chapter necessarily tonight. There are several lessons that still need to be learned here, but it's been a tremendous study, and there are several things that we're learning along the way. And I'll take just a moment and just refresh us for a minute. Jonah chapter 4 is a tremendous lesson about failure, how you deal with failure sometimes, how the failure happens. That's present in this chapter as well. And there's so many lessons to learn from that. It's a picture of the fact that just doing right is not always enough. In that, as a servant of the Lord, you're to do right from the heart. You realize it's one thing to just go through the motions. It's another thing to have your heart behind the actions. And we always use the illustration when you tell your kids to take out the trash, if they do it, but they do it with a bad attitude, have they really obeyed? And there's all kinds of debates and discussions about that. But the truth is, as a Christian, it is right to do right, but it's right to do so from the right heart. And Jonah teaches us a lesson of that from the wrong side of that. And there's this revival that takes place. He becomes angry at the Lord. He becomes frustrated, so much so that not once but twice in the chapter, he asks the Lord to take his life. And there's a picture here of being at that place of discouragement, getting to, if you will, the bottom, getting to a place of depression. I've entitled it in more than one occasion here with these notes, the prayer of a quitter, where Jonah just wants to throw in the towel and quit because he's got his feelings hurt. He's been discouraged. He's been frustrated. He feels like he's not appreciated. He feels like nobody cares about him. And by the way, lots of us have been there. Know what that feels like. And so some tremendous pictures that are found here. And we get to verse number 4 and verse number 5, the Lord begins to confront Jonah with some of that. And so let's begin reading in verse number 5 and just read down through the chapter. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these lessons that are here and how real and how practical they are. And help us, Lord, not to just be caught up in a storyline, but I pray that you'd teach us from your Word. I pray that you'd bless. In Jesus' name, amen. The outline is on the screen that we've been using for quite some time. The opening part of this chapter is entitled Jonah and His God. And part two, we're in the midst of, is Jonah and His Gourd. And it covers the middle sections of these verses here. And we left off with a couple different outlines that are interspersed in this chapter. There are several more of those. I always like these outlines that are somewhat topical, But they're found in the context. I gave you seven conditions that lead to empty as we were looking at how that Jonah was running on empty and how he got to that place. And the truth of the matter is, any believer can get to that place. Now let me say that so that we get it. Do you realize that it doesn't matter how long you've been saved or what your ministry position is, any believer can get to the place where they're running on empty. And the way to avoid that and keep it from happening is to be sure that you walk with God. If you don't have a real walk with God and a real relationship with Him, you'll find that you will become dried out spiritually and it will become a problem to you. And so verse number 5, when Jonah gets upset with the Lord, he abandons his place of ministry, he abandons what God wanted him to do, and he left the city and sat down to watch. Now, if that was all we had, that's a sermon in and of itself. The truth of the matter is, there's not a person in this room tonight that doesn't have that temptation in the flesh. And that is, well, I didn't like the way it went, and I got my feelings hurt, and I don't think God was fair, and so therefore, I'm just not going to serve God anymore. And truth is, we can all fall into that if we're not careful. By the way, that's exactly what Jonah's doing. Well, God, that's just not fair. And I don't like the way it turned out. And I don't think it should have happened that way. And so Jonah walks away from where God has him and sits down and is frustrated. And really, spiritually, he starts to pout. It is possible to pout spiritually. By the way, some adults pout physically still. We can spend a long time there. But he's pouting spiritually. Well, that just isn't the way that I think you should have done it, God. And until you fix it, I will just stay here and I won't serve you. Can I tell you, you're not going to hurt God one bit. Now, you may, quote, hurt the heart of God, but God will be just fine without me and you. And for some reason, we get this idea that, well, you know, the ministry will fall apart without me. God doesn't have me. Nineveh will just fall off the earth. God doesn't have me, the church won't function. Now, wait a minute. That's the attitude that Jonah has. It is way off base. In fact, it's a great description of a backslider. And we left off, I gave you some guideposts to a backslidden lifestyle. I'm not going to put those back on the screen tonight. If you didn't get those, you weren't in the service last week, I'll be glad to share those with you. But there were 5 things that you can see as earmarkers that are indications that you are backslidden from where you ought to be. One was flirting with temptation and downplaying sin, getting settled in service and comfortable and not willing to do any more, and just settled in where you are. Another is feeding off of the world, and then another was chasing the things of the world. And these are all things that are indicators that it's very possible that you're on a road to being in a place where you don't want to end up, and it will hinder you spiritually. And so that brings us to verse number 5, as we're developing Jonah's actions. He runs out of the city, sits down, makes himself a little booth, a little house here, a little bus stop, and he just sits down and is just going to wait for God to do something. I don't know what he's waiting on God to do. I don't know what he thinks that God should do because he said so. But the truth of the matter is, again, the picture is, I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to pout until the Lord feels sorry for me and then he fixes it. Well, can I just tell you, we'll read of the grace of God, and we'll talk about it here in just a moment, but God is not obligated to respond to that. If you want to sit on your little stool and suck your little thumb, God's not obligated to respond to that. Everybody okay with that? But God is gracious, and thank the Lord for that. So look at verse number 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd. Now, can I tell you that if it was us writing the book of Jonah, and if it was us in charge, we'd have probably said in verse number 5, well, fine, have fun in your little booth. But that's not the way it goes. And so God prepared a gourd. And the gourd grows up to shade Jonah. Now, I want you to look at verse 6. And I want you to decipher, according to the text, why is this shade given? And it's very clear in the text. The Bible says, so that he might, it's toward the end of the verse, maybe two-thirds, but to deliver him from his grief. Is it because it's hot? Well, yes. And we'll see that in a moment. Is it because Jonah was sorrowful? Perhaps. But it's not just the sadness, and it's not just the emotional side. There is a grief that's taking place. The word deliver there carries the idea of changing the spirit of anger or wickedness. In other words, God said, I need to deliver him from the grief. I need to deliver him from the anger. I want to deliver him from the wickedness. I want to deliver him from this spirit. It's not just because Jonah's having a pity party. But God is interested in getting to Jonah's heart, and he's interested in this spirit that is so gravely wrong being dealt with. And the ladies and gentlemen, please understand and please connect what's happening here. It is a very clear picture that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance, or it ought to. Because God was interested in ministering to Jonah's heart. He wasn't so much concerned about these outward displays, and he wasn't so much concerned about what Jonah had done to try to get his own way, but he was concerned about Jonah's heart. There's a wonderful teaching lesson for parents. You have a child in your home that throws a nice little fun temper tantrum. And it's not so much about their outward display of actions, though that's not good. It's about the fact that there's a problem inside. It's an indication that there's a heart problem that is happening in the life of that child. And that's the same thing that's taking place in Jonah here. And so God gives this gourd. It is a shade tree of sorts. And it was to cool Jonah off. It was to bring him to his senses. And here's an irony. For the first time in the book, four chapters, 43 verses. For the first time, Jonah's happy. Did you see that? So Jonah was exceeding glad. Now, by the way, it wasn't that long ago we saw that Jonah was exceedingly angry. But now, for the first time in 43 verses, four chapters, he is finally happy. And God gave him a place where he could cool down and he could cool off. God gave him, watch now, God gave him an opportunity where he could settle down and the Lord could rebuke him and God could pierce his heart, else more judgment would come. Ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you tonight that we serve a good and a gracious God that does the same for us. It is wonderful to know that in our life, there are times when God sends along some shade to get our attention and to cool us down and to pierce our heart. But let the record state, if God cannot or you will not let Him pierce your heart, then the worms will come. And it only gets worse from there. This is not just about the fact that Jonah's going to be hot and he's going to get a sunburn on his head, though that would be part of it. It's not just about the fact that it's going to be difficult physically and this would make it better for him. It's about the fact that there was a necessity of correcting the evil. It's about the fact that God is good and He's interested in giving Jonah a space so that he would get right. Sometimes God gives you circumstances, listen to this, that will let you improve your relationship with God. There are times when God may allow things to get your attention to give you an opportunity to make your relationship with Him better. For example, He may give you beautiful weather on Sunday so that you could make it out and be to church. It's interesting. We have every excuse for not doing what God wants us to do. In the winter, it's cold. And then if the wind blows or it's rainy, that's a problem. In July, it's obviously too hot to come to church. And the list goes on. And yet we're the same people that don't have any problem getting out of our car and walking in the store at Walmart or Target or McDonald's or wherever it is that you go. Now, wait a minute. God may give us opportunity so that we can improve our relationship with the Lord. It could be that God gives you the health to be in a place where you can serve Him. Now don't miss it. It could be that God gives you material blessings so that you can better meet the needs that would fill your soul and grow you. But you know what the flesh does? The flesh seldom sees the goodness of God. The flesh gives our attention to the things rather than the giver of the things. That's the natural flesh. Now, come on now, that's all of us. Don't pat yourself on the back and say, well, not me, I always see God in everything. The flesh naturally sees the things rather than the hand from which it comes. And here's Jonah, watch, he's an example. He's enthused about the gourd. Well, look at that. All of a sudden, mysteriously, miraculously, a leaf grows up big enough to shade me. Huh, how about that? And do you know there is not one place in this passage of Scripture where, number one, Jonah thanks God for that. Number two, where he acknowledges where it came from. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Christian people today have a real big problem with thanking God for their blessings and recognizing where they come from. At minimal, he could have said, well, how about that? Only God could make that grow up overnight. But as if somehow he deserved it, as if somehow it was owed to him. And here is Jonah, who's at a place where he is enthused about the wrong things. He is great and ungrateful for what he should have had. He was enthused about this gourd, but seemingly not thankful to the one that gave it to him. Someone said this, and I like it. What makes you glad, mad, or sad reveals the condition of your heart. What makes you glad, mad, or sad? Now, how do you keep yourself in the right spiritual condition? Well, Colossians chapter 3 says, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Do you realize that if your affections are in the wrong places, then you will experience spiritual shipwreck and you will miss the opportunity to be grateful from where it came from. It's also interesting that Jonah doesn't ask for this gourd. You know, you're not going to find any place in that scripture where Jonah says, you know, Lord, it's hot out here. By the way, I just left where you wanted me to be. And by the way, Lord, it'd be good if you'd bless me with shade. But yet, in spite of that, God does give. In spite of that, God does provide and God does protect. If you're at all a Bible student, there are plethora of sermons found in just these few thoughts that are here. There are few things in your life that will brighten your spirit than being grateful for what God does for you. And there are few things that will sour your spirit as being ungrateful for what God does for you. Now, let's look at the gourd. Let's just think about it for a minute. What is this plant? I did a little bit of reading, a little bit of study, and perhaps you already know some of these things, but the plant, by definition, means nauseous to the taste. Isn't that just wonderful? By product and by design, it would be what we would understand as a castor oil bean plant or some kind of a vine. It would grow very rapidly in hot climate to heights of 15 or 20 feet and with large, what would be styled or called an elephant ear-like leaf. Very large leaf that would grow up and would grow up very quickly. And it had all kinds of purposes in that region of the country. It was used for many different things. It had an oil that was produced. Now watch this. The oil was used oftentimes to be burned in the lamps to provide light. It had a red fruit that would grow on it that was poisonous. The oil was used medicinally, are you ready? As a laxative to purge the body. How many of you ever took some sort of castor oil as a child? Okay. You're there. This is what it had purposes for. Now, I want you to think about the irony, and I want you to think about the pictures of what's happening here. Jonah is a picture of all three of those. Here's Jonah, who is poisoned on the inside: anger, bitterness, rebellion. Here's Jonah, who at the same time was a light to those people. He preached the truth. But here's Jonah, who would need to be purged from the inside out. And he needs a spiritual laxative. Everybody okay with that? It's all in the text. And Jonah's condition is fragile and it's weak. And there's analogy after analogy. And so for you and I, we're to be steadfast. We're to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Can I ask you a question? Are you steadfast in your service? Or do you get squirrely ways if someone says the wrong thing? Are you steadfast in serving the Lord? Or do you find yourself sulking and pouting because you think God should have done it better? That's where Jonah is. And it led to, I never even gave you letter B. How come somebody wasn't waving to me? It led to this deliverance that the Lord gave him the gourd to deliver him from the heat. It's always great when you give the outline after you're done preaching it. Watch how fast the message goes. Look, letter C, destruction. Isn't that great? Verse number 7. Now notice the destruction. But God, I love this verse, God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. All right, you know the story, you've read it over and over. So because the sun would make Jonah uncomfortable, God gave him the gourd. But the next morning, a worm would come and would kill that vine and steal away the shade. Now, God is still trying to get Jonah's attention. Don't miss the connection. God sent him a shade tree and he didn't listen. And can I say to you tonight that if God sends you a shade leaf along your way and you don't get it, be careful, because there's more destruction right behind that. And Jonah didn't get it. And so now, watch, God has gone from the gentle approach, now he's got to go to a forceful approach, to the point where Jonah says, I just want to die. Can't take it anymore. Be better for me if I could die. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you could eliminate a lot of trouble. I could eliminate a lot of trouble from my life if we would heed the gentle pleading from the Lord first. And if we would see it. But because we get stubborn, sometimes we have to get knocked down. Sometimes there has to be some worms. And from one day to the next, Jonah enjoys the shade and the blessing, and he mistreated that blessing, so he lost it. It's an interesting analogy that is found in verse number 7 when you look at the fact that God gave him this as a blessing and a privilege and a space, but because he ignored it, he lost it. Jonah wasn't even grateful for the shade, so God took it away. Now I want to ask you a question. Does God send worms today? Some of you say, yeah, preacher, because they're in my garden. They're eating my tomatoes and my corn, and yeah. The truth of the matter is, spiritually, you better believe it. Some folks misuse God's provision for evil, or, are you listening? They rob God of tithes and offerings. So God sends worms to devour their finances. Now, you've been in church long enough to know, and you've heard it plenty of times, if you don't give to God what rightly belongs to Him, you won't keep it anyways. because it will be devoured along the way. It could be that it would be a business failure. It could be that it could be the loss of a job. It could be a serious repair or a big health bill that otherwise might have been avoided if God was first. Sometimes people misuse their body and they refuse to glorify God, and they are willing to live a life of fornication or adultery or other such wickedness, and because they won't listen, and because they don't heed the shade, and they don't hear the blessing of God, God has a tendency to send worms. And it could be a health problem, a disease, cancer, an accident, and the list goes on. We live in such a messed up society today that when that happens, we get angry at God because it happened. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me, and listen to me well. If you misuse the blessings of God on your life, don't get angry at God if He removes the blessing. Did you catch that? Some folks, it could be that there's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of illustrations that we could put here to give us an opportunity to look at the fact God may be chastening us for a sin, or God may be getting our attention. Now, I would have to say, as I mentioned this, just because you've had a problem or just because things have come into your life doesn't mean God is chastening you always. It is always a good reminder to recognize that it doesn't necessarily mean that there is some sin in your life or that there is a problem. However, it is wise to ponder that, and it's wise to do inventory and to check and to find out, is it an indicator that there's chastisement in my life? It could be that you have forfeited the blessing of having children that are submissive and loyal and going to serve the Lord because you won't get right with God. There are all kinds of ways that God may send worms to devour what means the most to you. It's so sad that sometimes we miss that. Because it could be that God is trying to get our attention. If you use the blessings of God for self-glory or self-advancement, look out. Because you will catch up with worms. Or they will catch up with you. If you misuse your blessings and they keep you out of church, or they keep you from serving God, look out. This is the time of year, I might as well say it, and you can throw hymn books. We are often told, well, preacher, we got this place down on the lake. Oh, it's so beautiful. I got it for a steal, and God gave it to us. But if that keeps you from the house of God, wait a minute. You won't have that place very long. Whatever it could be that takes that place and moves you from where you ought to be careful. Because worms will devour it. Don't be surprised if God takes away His blessing if you're ungrateful for it. And isn't it true that most believers need to do an inventory there? It's interesting how convicting that is. Can I ask you a question? Do you have worms? Do you have a heartworm? How many of you have an animal and you give them a heartworm pill? How many of you don't care if they have a heartworm? I'm not afraid. You know, it's possible for that to be a problem spiritually. And the good news is, it's proof of the fact that God still cares about you, and He still loves you. And it's proof of the fact that God uses the little things to confound the mighty. Now, let me introduce verse 8 to you. I know what time it is. Verse 8, is the desire? What is the desire? It's better for me to die. It's better for me to die. God has used a whale, a worm, and now wind in verse number 8. But this is not an ordinary wind. The Bible says, came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. Now that's not a gentle breeze like we have. Yesterday there were some men out here working in the parking lot and it was 7,042 degrees at least. And it was, I mean, I think we got a wind of about a half a mile an hour, and boy, it felt wonderful. This is not the same kind of wind. In this particular part of the region, in this particular desert area, this vehement wind carries by definition the indication of blindness and heat and disaster. So in other words, we're talking about a wind that would come in and stir up the sand so much so that you couldn't see, and it would burn the skin as it blows against you, but it would raise the temperature 20 or 30 degrees. It's like standing by the furnace as the blower motor comes on and blows the heat at you. This is the kind of wind that came Jonah's direction. It was so deadly that birds and other animals would have to hide as these would sweep through the area because it would cause fatal death. If you got caught as a human being, you would not be able to sustain it very long. Crops would be ruined. Animals would die. It was a problem. Now, a moment ago, before God gave Jonah the gourd, Jonah made his own shelter. Do you remember that? He made a little booth, didn't he? Now, I don't know what you picture the booth as, but I picture it as a bus stop. I don't know what bus he was waiting on, but he already got a ride on a whale. What's hard about imagining a bus? But it's interesting. Think about it. The castle that he built himself couldn't withstand the judgment of God when it came. And I'm telling you, between verse 5, 6, and 7, if you don't heed God's moving upon your life, it does not matter what kind of castle you're building or what life you think you're going to work out for you. It won't make it because it will all be burnt or blown away. There's a lot of imagery there. And it will get so bad, are you listening, that you'll be just like Jonah and you'd say, I'd just rather die. I can't take it anymore. Be better for me if I just didn't even live. This is a terrible place for any believer to be. And by the way, God doesn't intend you to live there. It is never the case for a child of God who is to live in victory and above their circumstances to want to take their life. And you shouldn't have to. And so God was trying to teach Jonah a lesson, but because he wouldn't listen, the judgment came. Now we'll have to build on that verse next week, and it will teach us two things. How do we prepare for those kind of troubles? And how do we prepare to be closer to God in the midst of those troubles? Hope you'll be back next week. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word. I pray that you'll remind us of these truths and encourage us, strengthen our hearts. Bless in the few moments that remain in the service. In Christ's name, amen. Take out your prayer list, if you would, for just a moment. And let me encourage you to think about a couple things here.